And good morning. Or Om Shanti. So I would like to introduce Sister Jayanti. Sister Jayanti can be described in many ways, and words, not my best way at this part of the Peace of Mind program. Sister Jayanti is based in London. She oversees the Brahma Kumari's activities across Europe and Middle East, but she's well-travelled and a great friend for many of us, or most of us, I think, anyone who's met her around the world, and she travels a lot. She has been studying Raja Yoga with the Brahma Kumari's since she was a teenager, and she works and lives very closely and has spent a lot of time beside Daddy Janki. So she's picked up a few tricks along the way, I think. So Jayanti Ben this morning will be picking up the threads that you've had over the last 2 days on the karma and drama discussions and helping tie those together. And I couldn't think of anyone better. Jayanti Ben's been a great friend and supporter of the Peace of Mind program from its beginning. And now we'll have a few minutes meditation, and then Sister Jayanti will give the class. Thanks, Jayanti Ben.
Good morning. Om Shanti. We're used to hearing about chickens and eggs, but I want to talk about seeds and trees. So where does the seed come from? And where does the tree come from? And that's the paradox that we have. But in fact, karma, which is the seed and tree story, actually then explains the cycle. Because you can't say which one came first. There isn't a first, 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 first. It's a cyclical process. And so you can see right from the very beginning that karma, and rather than use the word cycle, let me use another expression. When we talk about the cycle of life and what's going on down here on this planet, the movement through the passage of time, the golden, silver, the copper, the iron, the confluence, and then the golden again. We're talking about this earth as a stage, and playwrights and poets through the ages, East and West, have spoken about life as a drama. Life being played out on the earth, on the stage of the world. And so just taking that analogy a little bit further, the actor puts on a costume, comes onto the stage, but the actor must have a home. And so my understanding that there's a home of light where the souls reside. I think that may have come up in some of your sessions. And from that place where the soul is just in its inert form, everything is there, latent within it, but nothing is expressed, nothing is emerged, because that place is the place of total silence. Not even movement, no action, just stillness, a home, a place of rest. But a moment comes when a thought arises in the soul. I wonder what life is like on the earth. And that thought brings the soul down here into the physical dimension, and the soul takes a physical form, adopts a costume, and begins its journey within the drama of life on the earth. So, the body, the costume, the soul, the actor. So, actors come down to play their role in the drama. And the role that we play in the drama is that which we have created for ourselves. It's not God who says, this is your role, but the past cycle. My karma at that time laid the blueprint, laid the plan for the role I would play when I step onto the world drama stage. And so karma and drama are almost synonymous. As is the karma, so is the drama of my life. Okay, never mind the theory of somewhere up there, golden age, whatever, whatever. Forget about that for a moment. Just a moment. Think about life here and now, and the role that I'm playing at this moment within my own drama. Never mind even the big drama, the unlimited drama of what's going on in the world, but what's happening to me right now? And it makes sense to think that whatever is happening to me right now isn't something that somebody else decided. Who, how, why, what? Doesn't make sense. What does make sense is that, and I see it on a day-to-day basis, I have a choice. The rain decides to come. I don't think God sent the rain. I don't think any of us organized the rain. And I see the rain, and I have a choice. I can moan and groan and say, I came to India for sunshine, and why isn't there sun? Why didn't you organize it better? Why didn't you choose another time? And the why can go on forever. The other way, well, the rain, why not? Maybe it would have been very, very hot and intolerable. Maybe the rain has given me a chance to stay indoors and reflect and meditate. Maybe if there wasn't the rain, I'd be gallivanting outside. Maybe I'd be tempted to go and do more shopping. Maybe. But you can see that there's a way in which I can look at things from a very negative perspective, and the result of that, my karma, because karma is not just external action, but karma is also my thinking processes. That too is karma. And usually the thinking processes lead to external action, but even before the external action, my thought processes are my karma. I am creating my thoughts. I am creating my karma. Good or bad, the word karma doesn't take it either way. But whatever is the quality of my thinking, the result of that, the result of my karma, my feelings. And so I think in a positive way, and I take benefit from the opportunity that every situation brings. And my drama is a happy drama. If I choose to let other thoughts come, I've created my drama, which is a not very happy drama. But also, that drama is one in which I've handed over my power to external circumstances and situations. I don't want to do that. I want to be the master of my own drama. And before I can be the master of my drama in terms of external situations, I have to learn Raj Yoga, Raja, the king, the master. I have to learn to be the master of my thoughts. And therefore, my feelings. Where are my feelings? Here? No. My feelings are here. The effect of my feelings is here. But this is just the pumping machine. My feelings are actually in the soul. So, I can be the master of my thoughts and my feelings, and choose to keep myself light and easy and happy, and that becomes my drama. And if that is my choice, so many other things in the drama begin to unfold on the basis of my own choice. So a simple example, but it illustrates the whole connection of karma and drama in a very deep way. But never mind little things. All the big things that are happening in my life. Now, it's a little bit of a hard one to swallow that I am the creator of the drama that I find myself in. And I can understand that there can be many questions. Why? But the bottom line, who is responsible? Is it chance? Nothing happens by chance. Everything within this universe of ours, every movement of the stars, everything that's going on, there's a reason why things are happening. I might not know the reason, but enough for me to know that there is a good reason. And when things move a little bit out of place, there's chaos. And of course, when there's chaos, we say, why? But it's because something was not quite aligned in the way it should be, which is also what applies to physical health. Non-alignment within my thoughts, my emotions, my feelings, my conscience, and there's an impact on the body. And when I come back to an alignment, the body returns to a state of harmony and supports me. So there's always a reason for something. And it's not divine destiny. It's the destination that I have chosen. So destiny is not being controlled by someone up there. But I have a choice. I might not understand all my choices, and it's up to me in my human life to find out what my choices are. That's the path of search, of truth, of knowledge, of wisdom. And I'll be able to find the answers. What are the choices that I have? Otherwise, I'm a helpless puppet with drama pulling the strings. And I'm not understanding what's going on. But making sense of everything, making meaning of everything is to understand the story of karma and to accept responsibility. As I said, not an easy one to accept, but at some point I have to come to that awareness and understanding. I am responsible. And in fact, the story of karma very beautifully introduces me to different aspects of the cycle. One aspect is when I begin life, there seems to be some sort of credit and debit account that I begin with. Maybe the credit is in that I'm born into a loving family. Maybe the debit is that I'm born with health that's not so good. So there are different factors that one can identify at the start of a life, and you can see that we don't all begin equally. Even three children, even two children born into the same family, they don't get an equal start in life. You would imagine they would, but that's not true. They begin with their own qualities, they begin with their own connections in which one child becomes the mother's favorite, the other child becomes the father's favorite, which is not too bad, except if one child becomes the favorite of mother and father, that can create a bit of a stir. But you can see how you can't predict these things. You see them unfold in front of you, and then you try and make sense of everything. And the only way to make sense of this is knowing that there's something that happened prior to this child being born. And at the end of life, again, there's a lot of unaccounted things that have happened, things that haven't been accounted for in this birth. Maybe things that I've done that are not so good, but I've got away with it. But no, that doesn't happen in the universe. There is an account that has to be settled somewhere along the line. maybe the law didn't catch up with me, but the universal law will catch up, if not the law of my country. There is another law, a spiritual law, a universal law that is operable. And I'm accountable to that. Maybe there's a lot of good, and it was never acknowledged, it was never appreciated, there was no return given for the good. But maybe I just carried on doing what I needed to do. But again, the fruit of that, the credit of that, comes back at some point along the journey. And so, the beginning of life, the end of life, and look at these things in detail, and you'll see that there's a very strong indication of past birth and next birth. And so the seed in the tree, before this seed, there was a tree. Before this tree, there was a seed. Go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. And finally what you land up with is a circle, a cycle. So karma and the story of rebirth tells us that there's a cycle. And so both are deeply connected. And the story of karma and drama and the cycle today, that's telling me two very, very powerful things. One, it's telling me that it's time for transformation. It's the confluence age. It's the time when the dark night is finishing. The day is about to begin. And I have to prepare for the day if I want to. If I don't want to, that's also fine, no problem. But I have a choice. If I want to experience the highest of life on the stage of this drama, then let me make the preparations now. And the preparation is twofold. One, the accumulation of lots and lots of good karma, so that I carry that account with me. And the way I carry that account is through the imprints that I carry. I carry the traits that I develop through good deeds today. An act of kindness, an act of compassion, an act of love. What that's doing is underlining within the soul that particular pattern of behavior. Every time I repeat an action, it leaves an imprint. And so the karma, which is good karma, and you've had a detailed lesson on karma, so I'm assuming that many things have been covered. But the good karma in which I'm aware of the eternal self, I'm connected with the divine, and my actions are in the awareness of the divine, I'm bringing souls maybe closer to the divine, I'm sharing happiness with souls. So many different aspects of good karma. What that's doing is underlining all those benevolent qualities within the soul, so that it becomes easier and easier to be kind, to be compassionate, to be peaceful, to be non-violent, to be loving, and all the other qualities that I would like to develop within myself. So I'm carrying those pure, I use the word sanskaras, it's a shorter term than patterns of behavior. So sanskaras, the patterns, the imprints that I'm carrying. So I'm deepening those qualities within myself. Yesterday somebody asked Daddy Janki, where is truth? And Daddy said, it's within yourself. And then she went on to say, but it's got covered with layers of falsehood. So every time there's an action based on truth, that truth begins to emerge. But I also have to do a bit of cleaning. And so what do I do with the layers of falsehood or the layers of anger that I've developed through the years? Or actually, not just through the years, but through many lifetimes. I need a bit of cleaning. When we speak about yoga, the link with the divine, we sometimes use the expression, the fire of yoga. And we also describe it as the fire of love. Just as fire can cleanse and purify, you put in gold that is mixed with alloy, and the alloy is removed once you immerse it in very, very intense fire. So fire burns away impurities and leaves that which is real absolutely emerged. So the fire of love, the fire of yoga, the process of cleansing is how we are dealing with the acquired things that we've accumulated within ourselves. I heard a lovely expression the other day, and it was, when humanity rediscovers fire for the second time, there'll be a new beginning. And the speaker was talking about, yes, the fire and the discovery and the new chapter for humanity that started with that. But then she was referring to the fire of love. That when humanity rediscovers fire for the second time, the fire of love, then we're able to go to the new age. She was actually using that expression, new age. So a better world, a new world, the golden age, call it what you will. It's a very beautiful expression, the rediscovery for the second time of the fire of love. And yes, the fire of God's love settles the account of my karma from the past that I carry within myself. Of course, my karma is not only carried in here, my karma is also connected with many others. So, in some amazing matrix, we are connected together through our karma and through the power of God's love and purification. The karma gets settled so the new drama can begin. And both these processes of purification and recreation happen at the same time. I'm engaged in both things. I'm doing whatever it is I can, making sure that my karma stays pure and elevated, so that I'm not intensifying the negative imprints that I already carry, but I'm settling that negative karma. And as the transformation happens within individual souls, and as it happens within the collective family of humanity, a new chapter begins, a new era begins. And so karma and drama are the two big lessons for the present time. And if we have the question, well, how did we land up in the state of chaos? Yes, whatever was going inside and the lack of power led to the chaos out there. But it wasn't just internal chaos. We also did a lot of things that led to the external physical chaos. The moment that I lost awareness of my real identity, and I got into the awareness of skin and forgot about spirit, from that moment on, when out of ignorance, ego, greed, anger, lust, attachment got hold of me, first little bit, then as the tendencies became stronger and stronger, today you can see how it's an accumulation of a lot of karma from the past. Very, very intense negativity within souls. And the effect of that we see outside. The negativity of souls, negative actions, and the chaos in the world. So, the lesson of karma today, if I want to create a better future for myself, there's a way to do it. And if we together decide we want to create a better world, there's a way to do it. It's not impossible. It's within our own reach. We with our hands can do it. Yes, the power will come from above. Otherwise, me and myself on my own, I don't have that power. How often have you made a New Year's resolution? I'm really going to stay calm, no matter what's going on around me. And New Year's Day is usually a holiday in most places in the world now. And you're surrounded by family, friends, children, high expectations of good food, happiness and joy, and what happens? Tempers start fraying and things said that should be not said and all sorts of things. And by 12 o'clock noon you're thinking, why did I make that resolution today of all days? I should have waited maybe for the second or the third and then made a decision to do something. But the first, when it's a holiday and everything's happening in chaos around me, I should know better. So we have good intentions, but very often we lack the power. And so that moment now, a very special moment, when God's energy, God's power, God's wisdom becomes available for all of us. And so God's energy put into the system, and from chaos, order returns. I connect and I have the power to come back to my own original qualities. I learn to have value for myself because now I'm following my own inner core values in my life. And because I value myself and have dignity, I can treat you with respect and dignity and love. And so together we create once more a world of love. And so karma is actually the secret within the drama. If I just step back and say, I don't understand what sort of drama is going on in my life, then I can't do anything about it. But when I start linking it with karma, it begins to make sense. Sometimes on the immediate level, there's a lot of research that's been done into human behavior and things that seem inexplicable in the way people behave today. Trace it back and there'll be a reason. Maybe infancy, maybe childhood, and the things that happened there and the results you see today. And so karma always, always has an effect, both internally as well as externally. And the external is what we call the drama. So it's not two separate things, it's actually the one and same thing. And yes, karma can be collective karma, and so the drama becomes a collective drama. So the most important thing in terms of the present moment is to know that whatever is my choice, I can make it happen. Wonderful opportunity. Absolutely open choice. You can choose what sort of life it is you want for yourself in the immediate future, today and tomorrow, but you can also choose what it is you would like to create in the long-term future. We've never had such an opportunity before. Why? Because once the cycle starts moving again, then limited choices and limited results. And so from one birth to the next, yes, we have choice and yes, we create results. But to draw the map of destiny for myself, for the entire cycle, it only happens now, because only now, at the end of the cycle, does everything become clear. When we're still in the process of going through the drama, nobody's going to tell me all the secrets of the drama. But when the drama has been played out, we're coming to the final chapter, the end of the story, then the whole story is revealed and I can see everything and I can know what is the story I would like to write for myself for the drama. So I think it's a very, very opportune moment to reflect on that and to see how it is I can use this opportunity, taking God's help, taking the help of the family, taking the help of the atmosphere, taking the help of time. You know how when it's the right season, things will go very naturally. Now things are a little bit unseasonal. Somebody was telling me, I have never seen rain like this every single day once the end of September's gone by. It doesn't happen. So everything's out of sync, especially climate. And there's reason for it, of course. But normally, if you want strawberries in summer, very easy. Strawberries in winter, and now we have to fly them across the oceans to bring us strawberries when we want them, just simply because we want them, not because we need them. So now anything is possible, but at a cost. Footprint cost, carbon footprint cost, money cost, energy cost, labor cost, everything cost. But when it's the season, the right season, you can just go out into your garden if you've done the good karma of planting the seeds, and you can just pick the strawberries. So at the right time, something can be very easy and natural. At the wrong time, the wrong season, the same thing is very difficult. So what is it about this time now that makes it all very, very easy? It's the fact that it's a time, the only time in human history, when there's direct intervention by God within the story of human karma and drama. The only time when we get the information, we have the understanding, we have the access to the power, the love, the beauty, the joy of the connection in a direct way with God. And through that, everything happens. Everything becomes possible. The things that we thought were impossible, to create utopia, to create a golden age, it becomes possible. And so, is it my karma that I'm here? Yes, it is. Is it my karma that I can understand these things? Yes, it is. There must have been preparation that I've made that's brought me to this point. And if there are things I don't understand, that's also okay. Let me practice the things I do understand and work with those. And as I move along, maybe things will get clearer. And if they don't get clearer, I can find out something more. But certainly, at this moment, let me start using the things that make sense to me and practice those things in my own life. What else is there about this particular time? It's a time when people want change to happen. And when one individual wants something to happen, you make it happen. Very often, usually you do. But when a lot of people, even though it's a minority, but still it's a lot of people across the world who want to make peace happen in the world, who want to again create a better environment, who is thinking about holistic things and want to have holistic education, holistic health is something we've become aware of. People want a world in which there's compassion and kindness. You know, in 1988, we had a program, and it was a program that the United Nations asked us to do, because 2 years earlier had been the International Year of Peace, and the Brahma Kumaris were deeply involved in that. And in fact, we had the largest non-fundraising project for peace in the world. It reached 66 countries, maybe more, I can't remember exactly. We've received 7 Peace Messenger Awards for that, and the UN asked us to do a follow-up for that. And so we had what was called a Peace Initiative Program, and it was called Global Cooperation for a Better World. We were asking people their ideas for a better world. How do you see yourself in a better world? How do you see relationships in the better world? How do you see the world in that better world? I can sum up the answers that came in from literally hundreds of thousands of people. It took us a team of 20 people going through everything 6 months to analyze and extract, and I can summarize it in one word. People wanted a world of values. That's it. The whole thing is documented very beautifully, but it's a world of values that we want. And there's enough people around the world who are saying this, that we would like to have a world of values. Well, how's it going to come? The sky is going to open and something's going to pour down? Unlikely. We have the values within ourselves. We've forgotten. And so now we have to remember, and we have to keep reminding ourselves, because the world around us keeps telling us impossible, impossible, impossible. A world of truth. Who thinks it's possible today? Young people do. I was at a gathering in which there were a majority of young people, and it was a country which is, I won't tell you the name of the country, but I think it's around number three or number four. It's not India, and it's not, I don't think that country is represented here actually. But on that list, it's number 4, the list of the most corrupt countries in the world. And in this particular group of young people, there are a few older folk, not that old, but older. And one of the young women said, you know, what I'd really like to see happen in my country is to remove corruption and truth to come in. All the young people supported her and shared very practical experiences of how they had been struggling against corruption, and they made it happen. The things that they wanted to happen, they made it happen without any bribery. And a few of the older folk, they were still quite skeptical about everything. But the young people, they were saying, this happened. Somebody wanted to get a car license, a driving license, and normally it's extra. No, they said, not going to do that. Somebody had a will left by her father, and she said, this is what the will states, this is what is my right, this is what's going to happen. She made it happen. So against all odds, truth prevailed, corruption was reduced. So, yes, young people will say that it's possible to have a world of truth, but of course many will say, no, it's not. A world of peace, the John Lennon song, you will say it's impossible, it's just a dream, but I know it can, I know it will. And so we hold this desire because it's something that the human soul has experienced, not just internally, but externally also. The myths, the legends all support this, that there was a world in which everything was in its perfect state. The karma we have to do now is to allow those innermost values to be expressed in our lives in today's world. Then the world of tomorrow will be a reality. If I say, well, you know, how can I love so-and-so? Because they're really not very nice to me at all. Well, that's the lesson. Can I maintain my vision of love towards them? Whatever is coming back to me. And let me understand that whatever is coming back to me, I'm settling karma. If what's coming back, coming at me, is something I'm going to react against, I'll continue that karma, and the seed in the tree story will carry on forever in that particular pattern. That I choose to change the story. Okay? Whatever is coming is from past, I'm going to absorb it. I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm going to let it wash over me. And I'm going to hold on to my pure feelings of love for that soul. Good challenge. And it's a challenge that everybody has to face at some time in their journey. But that is what the whole story is about. To what extent am I able to transform and hold on my inner core values, and the power of these is what will bring peace and love onto the earth. What I'd like us to do is to have just about 15 minutes for questions, and I can imagine there's many, but let's see what we can get through in 15 minutes. Now, of course, there's traffic control. And so don't think of questions in traffic control. Think about the inner state of peace and love and truth. Tell you your story. We have a microphone in Frank's hand, so anybody wants to ask or make a comment? Frank, yeah.
Hi, I was just wondering, you were talking about the Golden Age and how everybody is in a peaceful place and happiness is kind of everywhere. But what causes it, if I am happy and everybody else is happy, what causes it to fall down? How come it doesn't be maintained and it digresses?
It's like a battery. And when you start using the battery, automatically the power level begins to drop. Mm-hmm. And so once the soul has left its home, it's fully charged. It comes on earth, takes on a body, begins just simply to live and experience the joy of living, the beauty of living, but it's taking energy. And so gradually there's a decline in that power. And then there comes a critical moment when consciousness switches.
Sorry. Thank you.
So the passage of time.
Thank you. My name is Pernille. You were talking about the next span or the next circle that we had the possibility to sort of plan how we are for that, or how we how our life for that next spans are with the thoughts we have and how we act in the world. But that span is very long, isn't it?
I have a specific period that I've been told, and other people have different ideas, and so I'm not really too bothered about how long that period is. Mm. My concern is more, my interest is this transition period in which we are creating the future, the better world.
Yeah.
And yes, we've been given a figure that it's a cycle of 5,000, and it doesn't fit with most people's thinking. And as I say, at this moment, I'm not too worried about whether it's 5,000 or 7,000 or whatever it may be.
Yeah, so it's great.
My interest is the transition period.
Okay.
Hi, sister. I'm Julian. You've been talking a lot about karma over the past few days, and my question is around, you know, what does one do? How do you get to the golden age? Daddy Janki mentioned that intense effort gets you to the golden age sooner. But you look at karma and you look at your point in time and you wonder, you know, how much of intense effort does one need to do? be able to get there, it just seems so very long.
Let me see if I've understood your question. Daddy's had 100 years of age in which to make her effort. How long is it going to take us? Is that your question? I really believe that, you know, she was sort of alluding to it yesterday when she was meeting the group, that she asks God, why am I still here? And I believe that certainly the last 10, 15 years have been just purely for her to serve and give others that feeling that yes, truth and love and joy in human form are possible, that you can be the embodiment of these. So I wouldn't count that within her period of effort. I would say that really her period of service in its perfect form. But she's taken a long time, but I took less to get this far, and I'm not assuming I'm going to live to 100. But I've come however far I've come, but I've seen others much younger than me. I met somebody who's actually one of the doctors at the hospital here. And he was describing how just in his short time with Raj Yoga, he described to me the various things that he's gone through and experienced and the stage he's reached now. And it's a very short time, and it's a very active life. You can imagine being a doctor at a hospital. There's calls through the night, emergency cases, and all sorts of things going on in the outpatients department, big queues. So he's doing all of that. But internally, he's making all this effort, a spiritual awareness. And he's saying, it's not a struggle. It's become very natural for me. And so I think how long you take is how long is the string. So it can be as short or as long as you wish. And Daddy would say she wouldn't have missed a single day of the life that she's had of all these years. And I would say the same. Each day has been very, very rich and fulfilling. Many lessons learned, hard lessons sometimes, not easy, but very beautiful. And so if somebody's able to move fast, give them all the good wishes that I can give.
You said karma is secret of Dharma world. Yeah, I would like you reply about secret. Yeah, secret of Dharma world, which you said. Yeah, please reply again about secret. Karma is secret. Yeah,
karma is equal to drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if I say
sorry, she was trying to say that you said that karma is a secret of drama. She heard that.
Karma
is synonymous. Synonym.
Synonymous with drama. On the external level, we would say it's my drama. But what created my drama is my karma. So both are equal. My karma, my drama are equal. They're the same. Okay? Okay, question just behind.
Can I speak? Yes. Sister Jayanti, do you understand that we had in Europe, in the Western world, the Enlightenment? Do you understand that we are all a little, you know, we try to ask what is it, we are somehow critical towards the idea of karma and dharma. So, do you understand this, that people in Europe are somehow shy about all these things?
Yes, I'm very aware. not just about karma and drama, even the word God. And you're not just a little bit shy, they're sometimes allergic. So, yes, I'm very aware. But I want to talk about 4 AD, the Constantinople seminar that took place and the edict that came from that little gathering of priests. And prior to 4 AD, Christianity believed in the concept of rebirth. And the story of rebirth and karma are again totally connected. And at that time, there was what was called indulgences being offered, which meant that if I sinned and I go to the priest and I say, sorry, forgive me, and I give a certain amount of money, then the priest can say to me, child, I forgive you. And of course, with the story of karma and rebirth, what happens? The priest loses a big fat purse of money. Really? And they decided they were going to eliminate the concept of rebirth and karma from Christianity. Really, believe me. Explore the roots of Christianity and you'll make the same discovery. So that's one example. But and of course, science and materialism will say that I only believe it if I see it, if I can weigh it and measure it. And so then you have the linear understanding. And then when you begin to practice meditation, you realize that things don't have such a clear-cut beginning and ending. And your perception begins to change. And you become more aware of natural rhythms in life. And the cycle of life, and you extend that and you think about the cosmic cycle. So when people begin to meditate, they become aware of other realities, other dimensions of reality. So one is the cycle, the other is the presence of a higher power. There's a man who came to me and he said, I don't believe in God, but I want to learn to meditate. Can you teach me? I said, yes. And after 9 years, he phoned us to say, I want you to tell Daddy Janki, I believe in God now. So I said, good for you. So it might take a little bit of time sometimes, but perceptions change and our understanding of reality begins to shift.
Good morning, Sister JNT. I'm Susie from Malaysia, and we have a lot of scriptures that say your destiny and your fate, it's already written, and therefore you cannot change it. But I would understand from my readings and listening to you as well, the destiny is your karma and what you've created. Because you mentioned destiny is what I've chosen. Does that mean I can change my destiny and my fate?
I believe so. I believe I choose my destination and that becomes my destiny, and I just have to keep my vision clear and not get distracted. Yeah. Frank, maybe the last question, because I think then you've got something else happening.
Thank you. I'm wondering if you can help with the understanding of drama. Are there other words that capture that, that mean the same thing, which would help an understanding of what is meant by drama? Please.
Another word for drama? It's a play, but that's still very close to drama. Sorry? 3D movie called Life. I would just say life, the dance of life. They've always spoken about life as being a dance. And sometimes you dance in harmony with your partner and everybody else around you. Sometimes you're out of step and you tread on somebody's toes or they tread on your toes. Sometimes you miss a beat. But maybe that's another image that's useful. The dance of the universe. Try it. Thank you for your tolerance. I can imagine that there's lots and lots of questions still bubbling there. But take it easy and use the things that are comfortable and see what happens. Om Shanti.